This is a message delivered on August 13, 2023 by Pastor Hon. The message title is Whether to Follow God's Spirit or Our Own Spirits. The scripture passage is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. Good morning. Today, we commemorate in this morning service the Japan's defeat of the last war. Let us read from Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, Israel, are like the jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to the breaches in the wall to repair it for the people of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and their divinations a lie. Even though the Lord has not sent them, they say, The Lord declares, and expect Him to fulfill their words. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, The Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, Because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord, because they lead my people astray, saying, Peace, when there is no peace. And because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, Where is the whitewash you covered it with? Ezekiel, who was also a priest and a prophet, who relayed the words of God, was given Lord God's word just about when the kingdom of Judah was to be destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. Many of the words that were given were about the cause and error of why God's people Israel was about to perish or about to be destroyed. In the 13th chapter of Ezekiel that we just read, Lord God points out that the cause of the destruction of the nation is that it did not speak the word according to the will of God and the Spirit of God, or was not spoken, but according to one's own heart and spirit, falsely speaking or being spoken of his own words and thoughts as if they were the words of God, and that it has fallen into a group of false prophets who say there is peace when there is no true peace. Israel talked only what is pleasant to the ear, only what is easy to listen to, and spoke only what fitted their own common sense and feeling that were obtained by pandering to the world, flattering to the world's values and thoughts. instead of speaking the true word of God or listening to or watching or acting on what has been already spoken through the Bible, they simply followed their hearts and continued to hang on to the words and thoughts that followed their own spirits in order to fill only the fleeting joys and pleasures of this world that will soon disappear rather than the incorruptible and eternal joy of the kingdom of God. Without even trying to hear, see, or act directly on the words of the God who is, even though they believed in it, they made God the image of God they created. Their view of God and their self-satisfied ideals, desires, and illusions about God, they largely deviated from God's teaching. As a result of deviation, Israel perished. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18. Here, the blessings were promised. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 18. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. But contrary to this promise, Israel did not hear, see, speak, or act on the word of God straight, so they could not enjoy the precious blessing of living in peace until the end and perished. When the prophets who speak the word of God speak according to their own spirits and their own thoughts, not according to the Spirit of God, as if they were the words of God, the audience and congregation who were listening to them should have been able to point out, that is not the word of God, is it? But they were not able to point it out. They did not have enough spiritual discernment to point it out. They had not accumulated God's word enough to point it out. Hearing nothing but good words, consolation, healing, and encouragement, an atmosphere prevailed in the Church of God Israel that proclaimed, "That's all right." In Acts chapter 18 of the New Testament, there appears a lay couple named Priscilla and Aquila, who listened to the message spoken by the passionate evangelist Apollo, pointed out the missing parts, and made up for it. It seems that at the time of Ezekiel, Israel did not have Priscilla and Aquila, who could point out the false prophets. As I have mentioned before at the early morning prayer meeting and Wednesday service, there was a prominent pastor who came to give a lecture once a week at the seminary where I studied. He was a pastor of a large church where more than 6,000 people attended the services every Sunday. He has published more than 200 books, and I have learned a lot from his lectures and sermons, so I have collected nearly 150 of his books. There's a story that such a teacher told in a certain class that has left a deep impression I cannot forget even now. The church he was pastoring was a large church, and there were many assistant pastors. After a few years, these assistant pastors resigned their jobs and went to plant new churches. Then this senior pastor was invited to give a sermon at the opening service of the church where the ex-assistant pastor had established. But he said that the contents of his sermon were always the same. What was it? It was like this. He spoke to the congregation, "Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to ask you one thing. From next week, when you come to this church for worship on Sundays, please bring a stone enough to fit in your hand. And if this pastor's sermon, that is the former assistant pastor, in the service is neither the story of the Bible nor the words of God, do not hesitate to throw the stone in the face of this pastor. This is the important work, service, and role of everyone who will build the church from now on. We seminary students became tense when we heard this story. The senior pastor was always concerned about the fact that there were many pastors who spoke the words of the Bible like, the words of God like, and there were many believers who listened to the words of the Bible like, the words of God like. He spoke of his concerns many times, and sometimes in a hoarse voice. So if you think about my sermon, does the Bible really say that? Or he's speaking words that are not the words of God. Please throw stones at me as well. Even just imagining being thrown a stone makes me feel scared in many ways. Israel, in the time of Ezekiel, there was apparently no one who had the guts to throw stones at the false prophets for a long time. To be more precise, those people with guts were eliminated. Let us look at Amos chapter 2, verse 12. Amos chapter 2, verse 12. But you made Nazirites drink wine and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. Israelites made the devotees, called the Nazirites, who, because of their devotions to the Lord, did not drink strong alcohols or wine, nor even raisins or grapes, drunk and corrupted. Israelites persecuted and exterminated the prophets who spoke the word of God, saying, "Don't speak the word of God, the word of the Bible." To those who tried to speak God's words straight and honestly, Israelites said, "Don't speak such harsh words. Such harsh words cannot be God's words. Talk more about prosperity, success, joy, fun, healing, comfort, encouragement, more pleasant things, things to make us feel good, more harmless things. That is what the religion is supposed to be like. And it is worth believing, rewarding, valuable, and a supply that meets our needs and requirements. Living by trusting in God and His Word was reduced to the man-made religion and idolatry. The principle and thinking of demand and supply in economical and industrial terms. It was Israel in the time of Ezekiel that was reduced to a community of mere pandering flatterers, sacrificing eternal admirations, glory, and honor for immediate comfort. Then, what about us, Japanese Christian churches, Japanese Christians, Japanese pastors, believers, and Christian groups? So as not to create conflict, to be recognized by the world as much as possible, and not to be seen with strange eyes as much as possible, we do not speak anything straight, but only what is acceptable to anyone, creating such an atmosphere to be accepted without any persecution in the workplace, school, or community, giving top priority to being recognized by people and the community, gathering and helping the festivals held by local shrines and temples with no awareness, even though you are not a parishioner, unconsciously giving donations called neighborhood membership fees as if you were a parishioner. seeing the videos or hearing about the royal family makes us happy, while giving impassioned speeches about the national politics, economy, and administration, we give priority to being a Japanese race and Japanese person rather than being a Christian. While saying we express our faith and that we are Christians by adapting to the culture, climate, and customs of various places, but before you know it, you create in your daily life a platform to offer a sacrifice rather than believing in the true God, which is written in Judges, Kings, and Chronicles. They may be unaware of or pretend not to know it. Harsh words? Is it the sharp and extreme words? Aren't these the words unsuitable for Tsuchiura Megumi Church? Am I just stating my own opinion? Of course, I'm a truly sinful sinner who commits full sins every day, and I'm like a speck of dust who cannot breathe without the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. So I cannot deny 100% that I feel like I'm speaking my own opinion. However, when I read the Bible and when I look back on what the Japanese churches were like 80 years ago in Japan, who caused World War II, I cannot help but say something that seems harsh. I think I am not totally wrong. Or rather, what am I going to say without saying this? If I'm not prepared to say this, I'll have to quit the pastor's job. I'm struggling every day, thinking, rather than speaking according to one's own heart and following one's own spirit, I want to and I have to always have the determination and desire to yearn for God's will, follow God's spirit, and to speak God's words. Let us read again the words in Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up to the breaches in the wall to repair it for the people of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false and their divinations a lie. Even though the Lord has not sent them, they say the Lord declares and expect him to fulfill their words. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. Because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace, and because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? Today is the War Defeat Memorial Service. Every year, Tsujiura Megumi Church holds a service to commemorate the war defeat. This is because we will never forget the mistakes that we, the Christian churches in Japan, committed during the war, as written in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel. In order to remember that it is not the story of the distant past that has nothing to do with us, but that it is a problem facing us Japanese Christians living in the present age in the same way, we offer a service to commemorate the defeat of the war. Not only Tsujiura Megumi Church, but also Japan Alliance Church for Christ, to which Tsujiura Megumi Church belongs, holds a peace prayer meeting every year to say, we will never repeat the mistakes we made during the war. I don't know how many individual churches have a moment like a defeat memorial service. After the war, although various Christian denominations wrote apologies for their mistakes during the war, it is hard to say that they recognized the wartime mistakes of the church as a problem of the entire Christian churches in Japan and of each individual Christian and repented. Isn't that actually the case? About 10 years ago, when the Liberal Democratic Party government regained from the Democratic Party of Japan government, all of a sudden, I received regular emails from people claiming to be Christians, appealing for the legitimacy of emperor worship and shrine visits to my church's email address. I remember being shocked when it started to arrive. At the time of the 100th anniversary of the foundation of Japan Alliance Church of Christ, the following declaration was made in order to reflect on the mistakes of our Christian churches in Japan 8 years ago. It says, during the Pacific War, the Japan Alliance Church of Christ lost the autonomy of the church under the state Shinto system and cooperated with the national policy. Above all, it has inflicted unjust suffering on the nations of Asia and their churches. We admit our sin, repent here, and confess that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is the only sovereign. Subsequently, at the time of the 105th anniversary, a more in-depth declaration was made as follows. During the war, the religious organization's law was enforced in Japan, and the United Church of Christ in Japan was established in 1941. It was merged into the 8th Division. After the war, some of the churches decided to leave the United Church of Christ in Japan and formed a new organization, Japan Alliance Church of Christ, in 1949. In retrospect, during the war, especially during the Showa 15 war period from 1931 to 1945, our alliance churches could not reject state Shinto, which regarded the emperor as a living god, Arahitogami, as an idolatry problem, accepted it as a national ritual, could not observe the first and second commandments of the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other god besides me, and you shall not make idols for yourself, you shall not worship them, serve them. In addition, they could not live as active peacemakers with the churches of the neighboring countries, and they took part in the colonial rule and aggressive wars promoted by the state and cooperated in the invasion of the Asian region. Thus, before God and their neighbors, especially the people of Asia, they committed the sin of coercion and aggression in idolatry, and after the war, we were unaware of this fact and spent most of the time in ignorance without ever coming to repentance. Looking back on the history of our alliance organization, which overlaps with the history of modern Japan for over 100 years, we teachers and believers confess before the Lord that we could not continue to fully listen to God's word, which is the single and absolute rule of faith and life. Repent and sincerely ask God and our neighbors for forgiveness. We sincerely hope that once again we will firmly stand on the principle of Bible faith and, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be transformed into a Church of Christ with a content that is suitable for the gospel. During the war, Japanese Christian churches not only declared emperor worship to be non-religious, but also stipulated that the visiting shrines to worship was not idolatry and accepted it as a national ritual. On Sundays, during the Sunday service, they sang the Kimi ga yo, which praised the emperor, and prayed in the direction of an imperial palace to show their loyalty to the emperor. They referred to books of Deuteronomy and Joshua to justify Korean evangelism to claim that the Korean peninsula was the promised land given to Japan by God, and it was God's will for them to work hard to obtain the land and to cooperate with the Empire State of Japan, and it was the perfect opportunity to expand the borders of the world. The Japanese churches dispatched pastors to the Korean peninsula to encourage Christians on the Korean peninsula to worship the emperor and to visit shrines. The pastors themselves took the lead in persuading and coercing. Indeed, it was a state full of brutality and injustice. Of course, even under such circumstances, more than 100 pastors of holiness churches were arrested all at once under the peace preservation law because of their belief in the second coming of Christ, which was against the national polity of the time, in which the emperor was the living God. 6 of them died in prison, and 1 of them died shortly after his release. There were also students, aspiring pastors and Christians who rebelled against the shrine worship, such as the Mino Mission, a religious community based on the Puritan faith, Sophia Universities, and so on. However, most Christian churches believed that emperor worship and shrine visits were not contrary to the teaching of the Bible, but that they were religious acts that follow the teaching of the Bible, respect the ancestors, love the country, and respect the culture and customs. Of course, we should know well that we cannot condemn them without sympathy for the weakness, the pain, and the churches and Christians of the time who had to live with the situation that they were forced to do so while ignoring their own sinfulness. However, even with that in mind, the Japanese Christian churches were so absorbed in national policies during the war that they closed their spiritual visions to themselves, and that was revealed with Japan's defeat in the war. I think this fact is the serious problem that we Christians living in the present time must take as our own private matter. Previously, we studied the book of Daniel for 2.5 years, in which Daniel's prayer is recorded. Daniel, Book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 5 through 19. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame, the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servants of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us a great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like that, like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear, open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This Daniel's prayer should also be our prayer. After Israel was destroyed and taken captive, Daniel spent his life striving to live out the word of God in a Gentile country, in a Gentile religion, and in a Gentile culture. Even though he wasn't there, Daniel said, "We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. As if he had been there himself, he confessed we and prayed, including himself in it, praying that the sins of the ancestors of the faith were his own. And he confessed that the curse, the war, and destruction that befell them was not God's fault, but 100% their fault, their own guilt, because they did not live the word of God. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God had already foreseen the emergence of a person like Daniel. Let us look at the Ezekiel chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. But I will spare some, for some of you will escape the sword when you are scattered among the lands and nations. Then in these nations where they have been carried captive, those who escape will remember me, how I have been grieved by their adulterous hearts, which have turned away from me, and by their eyes, which have lusted after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evil they have done and for all their detestable practices. And they will know that I am the Lord. I did not threaten in vain to bring this calamity on them. Daniel was one of the leaders God raised to remind Israelites in the midst of the destruction of Israel of how the Lord God got hurt because of their adulterous hearts and their idolatrous eyes while they were exiled to the nations and turned away from the true God to pray, to repent, and were once again made to live the words of God. What about us? Are we fulfilling the role as those who were left after the war? Is Daniel's prayer my prayer? Is Daniel's way of life our way of life? Pastor Hirofumi Nodera of Akabane Bible Church once said something like this in his writings. The footprints of the Japanese churches in the 70 years after its defeat in the war were under the judgment of sin, and God did not allow Japanese churches to revive. After the defeat in the war, many years passed without repentance. For this reason, Japanese churches, like the Israelites and the Jewish people, were held captive as a people. We have spent 70 years after the war without experiencing revival. What I have been thinking about lately is how much the Christian churches in Japan today are overcoming the curse of the imperial system. Today, how many pastors are able to preach clearly from the pulpit the problems of the emperor system? I wonder if the pastors are teaching their church members the seriousness of the Hinomaru Kimigayo problem. Are they not able to preach the truth for fear of opposition from the executives and congregation of the church? Are they not preaching only the sermons without making black and white clear? The church in Japan was once defeated during the war, but are they still defeated? And this is why they are trying to survive until now, in order not to cause friction with the world and to avoid being persecuted. Unless this constitution is fundamentally changed, the church will not be able to show the glory of Christ to the world even 100 years after the war. The world is rapidly shifting to the right. If we speak the truth in such an era, we will of course be severely persecuted. we might not be treated as a human being, and we might have to be prepared to die. However, pandering to the world will repeat the same thing as the wartime church. Because of the wicked times, the church must still more accurately judge the state of the world from the scriptures, which speak of the kingdom of God, rather than being swayed by the common sense and the reputation of the world. It seems that these are the words of a modern-day Daniel, a modern-day Ezekiel, a prophet set up by God. So how do we react to the words of this modern-day prophet? How would you respond? How will it change? How will you live? Jesus also said this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 42. Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 through 42. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that the person will certainly not lose their reward. Within us, Tsuchiura Megumi Church, within Japanese Christian churches, and among Japanese Christians, do these words of Jesus live and work, and are they respected? Is there a pastor who is a prophet who speaks these words of Jesus straight? Are there any Christians who yearn for these words of Jesus? Is there a Christian who professes himself to be a sinner, but more than that, who professes to be a blessed person who has been forgiven through the atonement of Christ, who refuses to be entangled in the lies of bravado and bluff in the society, in the community, at workplace, at school, at home, and who risks his life in acknowledging Christ before men to live as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. The peace that Jesus is trying to achieve will eventually be accompanied by social peace and reconciliation in this world, but in the process, the steps that Christians experience, go through, and are made to go through is not necessarily the peace that is generalistic, humanistic, economic, scientific, industrial peace, but it accompanies to a greater or lesser degree with sword and enmity and persecution and blood. But it cannot be helped, for the world is in sin, and Satan denies and rejects all goodness and righteousness of God. But we Christians know. What do we know? Christ is peace. People say it's all sorts of things, but in the end, the peace that every human being seeks is true peace that only Christ can provide, can give, and is prepared for. There is ultimate peace in Christ. In the book of Ephesians that we are studying right now, the Apostle Paul confesses that Christ is peace. He lived through persecution and trials, and in the midst of this, he made a triumphant return to the kingdom of heaven while experiencing the vivid and peaceful Christ. To the prisoner who crucified with him, Jesus said, "You will be with me in paradise." The only peace that can be called peace is peace in Christ, which is even more clearly felt in trials, tribulations, and pains because of Christ. Later on, I'm going to read the prayer requests for issued by the Church and State Committee of the Japan Alliance. Japan Alliance, the Church of Christ. But believing in Jesus Christ is the greatest happiness, the greatest joy, and the ultimate blessing and grace. But the faith that the Bible teaches us is not as sweet as we think. Resolution is required. Even life is required. It is promised rewards and returns that cannot be compared to this decaying body and mind that are but dust. If you make up your mind and think that even your life is not precious, by the grace of the Lord and by the filling of the Holy Spirit, there is no greater happiness than that. Even in hard times, hot or cold, it is faith in Christ that allows us to think there is no blessing greater than this. Let us believe in Christ. Let us pray.